Hey there! Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quirky podcast that brings you writing tips and life tips. I'm Sean, and with me as always is Carrie Jones, New York Times and international best-selling author, an awesome woman.
I'm also Sean's wife, so he has to say that. We always start our podcast with a random thought, and then we go into the writing tip and the dog tip. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Enjoy!
Hey, it's random thought in the office time.
It sure is.
Boo. How you doing today, Boo?
I'm all right.
So there's a cool, strange news item from Maine, which is the state where we live.
Yeah.
And this woman said her car was stolen.
Yeah.
The report says that it's in Mars Hill, Maine, which is a great name.
Real.
So she called the police and she said, "Hey, a man knocked on my door and then he stole my car. And then he used my car to ram into his own car multiple times."
Wow, he must have been mad at his car, huh?
That makes no sense.
Why didn't he just ram your own car? Oh, maybe his car wouldn't run.
Maybe.
Maybe he's been working on it for days and finally he's just like, "Screw you, car."
Yeah, or maybe she made up the story. Or maybe... and she hit some guy's random car.
Times? Maybe.
Yeah. Or maybe,
I didn't think of that.
Maybe he was like, "If my car can't work, no car can work." But why would you steal a car and then bang it up?
I know.
Did he drive off afterwards? There's so many details missing in the story.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of a very interesting story.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Because this happens in the state of Sean.
Florida.
So these two people, they're like, "Hey, we're getting married." And they send out all the invitations. And they're like, "It's our dream house where we're getting married." And it's a 16,000 square foot mansion, yeah. Right? So they have this ceremony. And the house is gorgeous. It's got a pool. It's got a waterfall with a pool. They invited everybody to come. But then... it turns out that the property belongs to a lovely man, I'm assuming he's lovely, named Nathan Finkel. And they don't do weddings at that property. And the couple said, "Dear Mr. Finkel, God's message told us that we should marry at your house." But then, according to the AP report, Mr. Finkel sent his own message to the police, who had the wedding party leave.
I guess Mr. Finkel wasn't living there at the time.
I don't even know.
That's crazy.
Mr. Finkel not sharing, but also, weddings make a lot of mess.
They sure do.
There's a lot of weddings in our town.
Maybe there's somebody that works there that's a caretaker or something, and they're his friends, and they're like, "Hey, this guy's going to be out of town. He'll never know."
Dude, maybe that's a nicer version of just two people randomly picking. Can you imagine, you wake up and there's a wedding party outside your house?
No,
house.
Not at all.
I'd be like, "What are y'all doing?" And then I might actually be okay with it, honestly.
No, not at all.
I think I might. Because it would be so weird.
It would be weird and ballsy, but...
ballsy as heck.
Not okay.
All right, so... the final thing. Oh, wait. What?
Nothing.
Before I talk about this, randomly, I don't have the link right now, but this week, a couple brought their giant bunny on an to a baseball show. Game?
Yeah.
It's a game, not a show. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. The hate. Hey, let's go to the basketball show.
My little sports enthusiast.
I used to be a sports reporter. I did. That was a good one. Yeah. Anyway, you know why it was a good one? Because I occasionally use weird words. I'm making that up.
Was that a headline?
Yeah.
Results of
baseball show.
What did they call it? It was a tournament. a weekend tournament.
A baseball gala.
There you go.
It was a baseball festival. Okay, anyway.
What happened with the bunny?
They brought a giant support bunny to a baseball game.
And?
It was adorable. And huge.
Did it survive?
Bigger than our cats by a lot. Yeah, everybody loved it. It was a gorgeous bunny.
Support bunny.
It was a support bunny.
I'm sure it was.
And speaking of support, a young Josh in our country, the United States, for people who are in the U.S. listening right now, and you can't tell just by our dumbness and the fact we talked about baseball. During COVID, during the pandemic, which is still ongoing, a bunch of Joshes in the United States, got bored. And they decided that one of them should hold the title of the name Josh. And so young Josh Swain, who is 22 and goes to college for something, maybe marketing, in Tucson, Arizona, messaged a whole bunch of other Joshes, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I challenge you to a duel. Because, again, he's American. And I want to be the ultimate Josh.
Yeah.
The ultimate Josh. So a lot more people took up the challenge.
Expected?
Yeah. And so hundreds of people showed up at this park in Lincoln, Nebraska, which they chose totally at random. And they all had pool noodles. And they had a big, massive duel.
Except for this guy here, he's actually got foam swords.
Oh.
It's kind of cheating because pool noodles are a lot more limp.
Yeah, they are a lot more limp. Well,
yeah
I think it was the original person who was cheating.
The guy in the background there with the red burgundy shirt that has swords too.
All right. Well, I guess.
Cheers.
I guess we don't know the rules. They might not have been cheating, but everything else says pool noodles. So they began it with what AP News calls a grueling and righteous battle of rock, paper, scissors.
What?
And Josh Swain from Arizona and Josh Swain from Omaha dueled it out. And the original guy, Josh Swain from Arizona, won. So he is the true Josh Swain. I don't know what happens with the other Josh Swain. Is he going to change his name? I don't know. And so then they had this giant pool noodle competition. Anybody with the name of Josh got to be part of it. And the winner was a 5-year-old little kid.
No, that's not.
A 5-year-old Josh. And they gave him a Burger King crown for his coronation.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And allegedly the Arizona Josh Swain was stunned that it became such a huge thing. He said, quote, I did not expect people to be as adamant about this as they are right now. I'm going to tell you, Josh Swain, it's because there's nothing else to do, but also because your name's Josh. What?
Please do not close that tab.
Okay.
Go back to the Josh tab, please.
Yes.
I want to tell you that you were doing this. But I think it's a different ad now.
Oh, God.
But while you were reading, the ad was for Tampax tampons.
Oh.
And there's a lady in the ad.
Yeah.
Sitting on a doctor's exam table with a doctor, female.
Yes.
Presumably.
Yes.
Sitting on the doctor's stool in front of her. The lady on the table has jelly-filled donut. And she puts the tampon in the hole, where they put the jelly, of the donut,
yeah.
And then proceeds to eat the donut.
Oh!
Of course.
It's an unused tampon, but who would want to eat a tampon?
They're not eating the tampon, they're eating around the edges.
Ew.
But still, the whole thing was,
It will probably make you remember it forever, though.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Maybe good marketing?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe bad marketing. Wow. Why wouldn't you have a tampon ad on a news story about Josh's?
I don't know, but every ad right there was all feminine product.
I know. What's up with that? Interesting.
Don't know.
Are women the target market for ads about Josh's?
There was quite a few women in the background of that picture.
Wow. Women.
Behind all the people named Steve. Josh.
Named Steve. So cruel.
Writing tip of the pod.
So this week's podcast is about raccoons and where ideas come from.
Sweet.
I know. I thought you might like the raccoon.
Are raccoons inspirational?
They can be. So a lot of writers go around saying that they can't find anything to write about. But ideas are...
everywhere.
I promise. Just this week, there was a headline on theslate.com that read...
two masked bandits raid California bank, and they didn't want money, officials say.
So the masked bandits were actually raccoons who broke into Redwood City Bank, though it was closed. They were reported when a guy using an ATM said he saw...
a stuffed animal moving around inside the bank.
I love the fact that in the United States now, some of us are so, like, disassociated that we're like, oh, it's not a real animal. You know, that's going to be like some Zach Baggins.
It's like, yeah, we go straight to the paranormal.
Yeah.
Reality.
So anyways, Humane Society officials were called, and the raccoons played tags with the human for about 10 minutes before letting the humans catch them.
I'm surprised that's all it was.
So they think that, well, those people must be used to catching raccoons.
I guess
there.
So.
They think the raccoons gained entry via a tree and then some air ducts. Then they broke out some ceiling tiles, messed up some man's papers, tipped over a computer. Woo!
They did not get hurt.
No, no raccoons got hurt. But I love imagining them being like, hey, let's take it to the man.
That's
let's
right.
Tip over his computer like they tip over cows. They did not take any money. They maybe took a wall calendar or, you know, like you just opened a new checking account kind of gift, but we aren't sure. Because do they really want a Keurig? So, you know that, looking at that, right, Sean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a perfect book idea for a picture book for early reader for kids.
Heck yeah, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Ideas are everywhere. Like, if you think about our random thoughts.
They're everywhere.
Like, today we talked about the Josh battle.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the people getting married at somebody else's house with no permission.
Great idea.
And we talked about that woman whose car was stolen and then used to ram into the... alleged perpetrators.
Yeah, and we talked about chicken and stamp on and a jelly donut.
Yes, so all of those gross things could be stories.
Ideas.
Yeah, like you can run with any of that,
that's
right?
That's for sure.
So during his TED talk, Steven Johnson said,
we take ideas from other people, people we've learned from, people we run into in the coffee shop, and we stitch them together into new forms and create something new. That's really where innovation happens. And that means we have to change some of our models of what innovation and deep thinking really looks like. Right?
Yeah. So in another TED Talk, writer Elizabeth Gilbert talks about ancient Greeks and how they believed that creativity didn't come from us humans, but from daemons or divine attending spirits. Socrates was really into that. And the Romans, she said, believed the same things, but they called those spirits genius.
Ah, would that be like a muse?
Yeah.
Kinda?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So ideas are genius.
Ideas are genius. Like, I think it takes a certain genius to latch on to even the most simple thing that you see or hear every day and to turn it into.
No, it doesn't.
I know it doesn't.
It just takes saying yes, man. Like, you're just going to be like, okay, that's weird. I'm going to write about it. What will happen? You're just going to say yes to all the weirdness. Just,
once again, you got to start.
So ideas, of course, back then were separate in the land of ancient Greeks and Romans, were separate from us, and we weren't responsible for them. So, like, imagine if we believe that now, man.
Some people do.
I know. I think they do, actually.
Honestly, like...
some little trolls. So, you don't need to stress about your process. It's the point, kind of. Your ideas will come. You can ask them to show up. And you don't need to be afraid of those ideas coming or going. You just have to write or paint or sing or invent and allow your brain and your genius, your daemon, to do the work. It can only do that if you show up to do the work, too.
That's right.
So you can't be like, oh, I'm so blocked.
Don't have a 7 a.m. appointment with your muse for coffee and then not show up.
Yeah, man. Like, you got to explore the world and find out about things. But also, when you have something, like, you a random commercial about tampons and jelly donuts, you're like, all right, can I write a story about that?
I guarantee you could.
I could.
I bet you could throw one out right now, like a basic line, like a basic premise.
I could.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so the Smithsonian, that's so hard for me to say, honey. Smithsonian Magazine says about ideas and innovation.
The innovative drive lies in every human brain, and the resulting war against the repetitive is what powers the colossal changes that distinguish one generation from the next, one decade from the next, one year from the next. The drive to create the new is part of our biological makeup. We build cultures by the hundreds and new stories by the millions. We surround ourselves with things that have never existed before, while pigs and llamas and goldfish do not.
They go on to say,
just as nature modifies existing animals to create new creatures, so too the brain works from precedent. More than 400 years ago, the French essayist Michel de Montaigne, with my American French accent, wrote, bees plunder the flowers here and there, but afterward they make of them honey, which is all theirs. Even so, with the pieces borrowed from others, he will transform and blend them to make a work of his own. Or, as a modern science historian Steve Johnson puts it, we take the ideas we've inherited or that we've stumbled across, and we jigger them together into some new shape.
How cool is that, though? Like, creativity is all about altering and twisting memory.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And past precedent. Like, how cool is that? It's just like you're building on, like, this vast richness of culture.
No, it's really awesome. I watch you create... I don't often watch you create stories, but I see... You'll tell me the impetus for one sometimes after the fact, and it's quite amazing.
Yeah.
Like, where you, like the one where the country music video on the treadmill stuff. I still, to this day, don't know how you got where you are from that.
So one time I was on the treadmill in the basement, and the TV was broken for sound, and I was just flipping through channels because I have no attention span when I'm running, especially. I'm like, I get to in my head if I'm indoors. And so there's all of a sudden this amazing image of a truck rolling over and these two beautiful kids. Like, one kid is in the truck, and then it flashes to another, to a girl, so in a farmhouse, and the kid's like dying and like the windshield breaks. And then you see the girl throwing up by the toilet and her mom at the threshold of the bathroom. You don't see the throw up. And then, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have the best idea for a sequel for my book. And then I'm like, and then all of a sudden, in the field are like five guys with guitars and a drum and like mullets, and I'm like, oh no, this is a country music video. So like, and it gave me a whole book. So you can get ideas
from anywhere, literally
anywhere. Just say yes.
Get out and grab some.
Yeah.
Dog tip for life. I love saying that one.
He really do.
It's my most enthusiastic one.
Yeah. You like saying that. You lean right into it, boo.
I did.
It's like you're eating a jelly donut with a tampon.
Nope, that's not leaning into it. And what a waste, because when you pull that tampon out, it's going to fill probably half the jelly out with it.
I know. And jelly's the best part of the donut.
I mean, I'll stick a brand new tampon inside of a jelly donut and still eat the jelly donut, but you're going to blow out all the jelly when you pull the thing out.
Yeah, I don't know. That's our dog sleeping in the background.
If you can hear some light snoring, we just wore them out with questions. It was more of an interrogation, trying to get him to give us a dog tip.
Can you tell them what they said?
They said, human, your biggest internal issue is living with fear.
True.
Yeah.
And Sean's staring at me right now.
Why? Because that applies to you. Oh, well, me too, about certain things.
All right.
They said, go balls to the walls.
If you have them, our dogs don't.
Neither one, because one's a girl and one's a boy with no balls.
Yep. Because we spay and neuter our animals. All right.
Okay, Bob Barker.
That's what I went for. I went for that old Price is Right guy. Is he still alive, man?
Bob Barker, he can't possibly, but he'd be the oldest man on the planet. You're going to have to look that up.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
Go balls to the walls.
Smell everything. Wag your tail. Be happy and give some love. And my favorite, lick things.
With consent.
Of course. And just live.
Man, live.
You can't get experiences without living.
You can't get ideas if you're just only inside your head all your whole life.
But that's right. Well, nothing new. Nothing. And exciting.
Yeah.
This could be mundane.
Yeah.
Just different.
Go live a little.
Walk down the street and sit on the park bench and watch the people walk by.
Watch the people walk by.
Yeah. Depending upon where you live, you might see all kinds of ideas. Go to Walmart. Hey, thanks for listening. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share this podcast all over the place.
So I can make my $5 a year.
Carrie really needs that $5.
I need it so bad, man. And we'd like to shout out to Broke for Free, which created the track Summer Spliff. And that music is clipped and shortened in this podcast and is made available through the Creative Commons license.
That's awesome.
Hey, buy my books.
Yes, buy her books.
And find out more about us on carriejonesbooks.blog. We have another podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Live on Fridays.
It's fun.
And awesome.
Well, it's fun for me.
Yeah, Sean.
But please join us, 7 o'clock Friday night.
It's all about loving the strange.
And it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good day!